Often in my preaching and preparation study, I will, very rarely do I exhaust my study in the one message that I prepare for Sunday morning. And tonight, I believe God wants to challenge our hearts in regards to something that I talked about a little bit this morning in our message, but didn't really dive into much. And that is our inheritance. When I think of inheritance, what comes to mind in my own life and what has defined it for me is just very simply the inheritance my father received when his parents died. I was just a young boy when my grandmother died, and I can faintly remember receiving a new bed. And I was told that that was our inheritance from my grandmother's passing. Grandmother loved the Lord, and she died, and the farm was put up for sale, and all seven of the siblings divided up the shares of that. And my father received some, and he used it to purchase beds for us kids. And as I got thinking about that, I realized something, that an inheritance is connected with the death. And now, as we think about that concept, and we draw ourselves into the scriptures in this concept of an inheritance, we are drawn to this point, that an inheritance is ours because of the death of Christ. I want you to realize and think with me, what inheritance would we have if Christ hadn't died? If he hadn't paid the penalty for our sin upon the cross? Really, the culmination of all of history and the apex of the scriptures is that of Christ on the cross. The gospel. And let's not leave him on the cross. His death, his burial, and his resurrection. But nevertheless, there was a death. And because of death, there is an inheritance. An inheritance for you and for me. And tonight I want to talk about that inheritance. I trust it brings a measure of hope to us as we contemplate what that inheritance is. We're going to start in 1 Peter tonight. 1 Peter chapter 1. Now, of course, as you're turning there, we spent our time this morning in Ephesians chapter 5, and we understood a very clear concept that there was a certain group of people that were practicing certain sins continually that were not going to inherit the kingdom of Christ and of God. Now, it's a very negative concept. In other words, they're not inheriting something that is an inheritance of those who are true believers. And so let's look at that inheritance, first starting in 1 Peter chapter 1, and beginning in verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Notice death and resurrection, the gospel. Okay, verse 4. "To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." As we look at this passage of Scripture, we can learn a few things about this inheritance. We've already mentioned the importance of Jesus Christ in the gospel, and the fact that the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ is what has now made it possible, or has offered to us now, an inheritance. When we think of an inheritance, I would venture to say that if you're like me, it's usually a positive thing. It's usually a gain. It is something that you or I would gain something that is given to us as a result of who we are, of our position. For example, my father, the son of my grandmother, received an inheritance because he was the son. He was a relation. Here we see that the inheritance is given to those whom God has saved, whom God has keeping by the power of himself through faith unto salvation. Now this inheritance is free from decay. I can tell you that the bed, which was purchased for me when I was 10 or 11, I can't remember how old, that bed's wearing out. I'm not sleeping on it anymore. My brother is. And my brother's 6'4". He has to sleep at a diagonal because it's too short for him, but, you know, it's wearing out. The drawers underneath, it was a captain's bed, I remember. Drawers underneath, we had to repair them several times. Wearing out. Some people receive an inheritance, a house. No matter how nice the house, wears out. Whatever you think of as an inheritance on this earth, it's temporal, it's temporary. Maybe it's money, maybe it's a gift, a large financial bestowal upon you. Of what use is that after death? It has no value. Oh, it's great for here and for now, but it's temporary. Our inheritance is free from decay. Now listen, believer, we're talking about our future here, okay? We're talking about what is ours in Christ. And what is ours, why we can talk about hope, is we can talk about hope because we have an inheritance that is not going to decay. And not only that, it's an inheritance that is undefiled. It is not smudged with the dirt of sin, evil, wickedness, like this world is so prone to do. We often, well, maybe we don't do it often enough, as we talk about heaven and the glories of heaven and the joy of being free from the power, bondage of sin. Well, dear ones, just realize something. You and I have never, never felt what that is like. The freedom from being away, from sin, from that presence and the power of that sin. And that won't happen until the day we are with Christ. That is an inheritance. It's undefiled. It's free from decay. And it's never, never fading. It's unfading. And then last, as far as you look at verse 4, it's there at the end, it says these words. It says, it's reserved in heaven for you. Reserved in heaven for you. Now, Peter here, as he's writing, it seems he's trying to get believers' attention and to direct this truth right at their hearts so they get a hold of this truth and grab it tight to their souls. Realize this inheritance is reserved in heaven for you. This term reserved, it's a perfect tense, which means that it is something that has happened in the past once and for all, never needing to be repeated again. And it is passive, so in other words, the inheritance isn't doing the reserving. God has done the reserving of the inheritance. And he has done it once and for all in the past, and it's for you, Jesus Christ, on the cross of Christ, the cross. That death, that sacrifice, was the point at which God reserved this for you and for me. It's a done. It's done. And it's reserved, it's held in its place for you and for me. Our inheritance is free from decay. It's completely pure, never fading, and is reserved in heaven. I want us to go to Acts chapter 20 as we continue to explore this concept, this hope, this glorious truth of an inheritance. Acts chapter 20, verse 32. Interestingly enough, this is the discourse that Paul is giving to the Ephesian elders this is the last time he's seeing them, just before he goes to Jerusalem and he's arrested and then finally sent to Rome. This is a sad parting. They are very dear to one another. There's tears mentioned in the text. But Paul is exhorting these leaders, and these are leaders of the church in Ephesus. And remember what book we're studying, Ephesians, in the morning? Remember, it's just these people, they have understood and grasped the reality of salvation from Paul's letter. And now he's seeing them once more, and he's exhorting them. And here in this text, he talks about their inheritance. In Acts chapter 20, verse 32, he's kind of wrapping up his discourse, and he says this. Acts 20, 32, "And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified." What can we learn about our inheritance here? Well, first of all, I want you to notice the importance of the word of his grace. The word of his grace. I believe the Bible is very specific in the wording that it uses. word of his grace. There is great power in the word of God, in the grace of God that comes through the teaching and the preaching of the word. In Romans chapter 10, it says, "Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Here we see the importance of the word of God as it is presented to people. It ministers grace, and it ministers the grace and the truth of a future inheritance. Now, not only that, this inheritance is described in this way: to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. That gives us a glimpse into who we're going to be with, who we're going to be enjoying this inheritance with. All them that are sanctified. All them that have been set apart. All them that are declared holy. With that thought in mind, it brings us to this truth that we talked about in Ephesians chapter 5. The Bible declares there are some who will not inherit the kingdom of God. These are those that are in continual sin. These are those that are not sanctified. I didn't mention it this morning, but I'll share it now. Paul gives three different epistles a list of sins. And at the close of those lists, he adds this thought or this point: they shall not inherit the kingdom of God, or some similar wording. We might as well, I just want to touch base, just show you those texts. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. Verse 9, he goes through a list. "Know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." So we can be absolutely, positively sure that this inheritance is something that is enjoyed in the presence of God and holy people. holy people. People that are free from sin. This is in a place that is, that has no sin in it. It is in the presence of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, you see that. Galatians chapter 5, we're fairly familiar with that. The fruit of the Spirit are in this text, but right before you read about the fruit of the Spirit, you read a list, and you again see this warning. Galatians chapter 5, verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And then, of course, our text in Ephesians chapter 5. So our inheritance is among all them which are sanctified, with those who are righteous. Now, as we talk about this, I want to make a comment here. In those lists that I just read from the Apostle Paul, he is making a list of sins or people that are continually doing those kinds of sins. They'll not inherit the kingdom of God. That is a true fact. But God forgives sin. And until we die, we have an opportunity to repent and come to Christ. Praise God. You see, just because you live a life in sin, but at the end of your life, you come to Christ, you know what? You're His. You've got an inheritance just like the rest of us. You're sanctified. You are declared righteous. You're justified. It's the grace of God. So, let's go to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. In this text, we see that our inheritance is viewed as a reward. So an inheritance is a very positive thing. It is a blessing. Colossians chapter 3, context here is Apostle Paul. He's giving instructions on a proper life, life as a Christian, as a believer. He talks to wives, husbands, children, fathers, verse 21, 22. It's the servants. Verse 22 specifically, it says, "Obey servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God." Now look at verse 23. "And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done. And there is no respect of persons." All right, so the context is a servant or a slave, and there is a relationship to his master. He is to serve, not pleasing men. He is to serve heartily, as unto the Lord. And then Paul gives this this promise, or this reason of hope. You know what? Because no one, they didn't like to be a slave. I mean, being a slave, being a servant was not an honorable thing. It was not an easy thing or task. But Paul's admonishing them, do it heartily. Don't seek to please men. Because listen, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance. So by way of application, we can make this principle. no matter how difficult of a life we may live or have or experience circumstances, difficulties in life as a Christian, we can always cling to this truth that the Lord has the reward of an inheritance for us. It is for those who serve the Lord Christ. And then Paul gives that little warning in verse 25, but if you do wrong, but he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. The obvious conclusion is live righteously. Live righteously. Live heartily as to the Lord, knowing that the Lord, that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance. Believer, you have an inheritance. Yes, someone had to die. But you know what? It was Jesus Christ that died. It was Jesus Christ that died. And he died in our place. And it was his death upon the cross that is God's extension of his grace. You have an inheritance. So, believers tonight, listen. Dwell upon that incredible reward. You got hope. What did 1 Peter say? A lively hope. A hope and a future that is sure. Didn't mention it tonight, but this inheritance is also, it's just eternal. It's forever and ever. I guess that would fit under the not decaying. But I trust that you can be encouraged tonight, because the end of the book tells us in Revelation 22, "Behold, I come quickly. My reward is with me. To give every man according to his work shall be, as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and warmongers and murderers and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie, they're without. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, Come, and let him that heareth say, Come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the books, from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifieth these things saith, Surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus." God, I thank you for the message of hope tonight, and the profound truth of an inheritance that is ours in you. Lord, I want to thank you for the Spirit. I didn't even mention the Spirit of God tonight, but that seal, the assurance, the guarantee that our salvation will be completed in heaven when we are there in your presence. And God, until that day, help us to be faithful. Help us, Lord, to live out this faith, to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. Lord, that you might be glorified, that you might be honored. Lord, that is our desire as a church and as individuals. We want you to be praised and uplifted. God, go with your people. May they know your presence, for forever you are with them. For you told us you'll never leave us nor forsake us. Lord, as you go with them, I pray that you'd empower them for the week ahead. Grant them words of grace and assure them of their hope
and a future. In Jesus' name, amen.